This is the Wake Up Zone,
powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors,
with Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, and Kevin Ingram.
Everything that the Titans feared came true as Mahomes has to snap it one more time. He takes a knee, and the Kansas City Chiefs are the AFC champions and are on their way to Super Bowl 54 as they play a Super Bowl game and knock off the Tennessee Titans by a final score of 35-24.
Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone. Final call of Mike Keith on Titans Radio yesterday as the Titans fall to the Chiefs in the AFC title game after that terrific playoff run. Real quick, I want to correct myself. Coco Gauff beat Venus Williams, not Serena Williams. Beat Venus, so still 7-6, 6-3, two sets in Melbourne this morning.
Get your act together.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. I wasn't all cognitive.
You don't see me making mistakes on this show.
I wasn't cognitive right there, so I need to make sure I correct myself.
I'm taking that one to my grave.
Yeah, or at least the rest of the week. Coach Dave McGinnis is with us. He is brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Farm Bureau Health Plans will coach you through it. They've got you covered. On a scale of 1 to 20, his work throughout the season has been great. Coach Mack, how you doing, man?
Guys, I'm really doing good. I mean, look, I've been in this a long time, just like you guys have. I could not have been more proud to have been associated, you know, with this group, you know, this 104.5 The Zone and the Titans. I mean, this 12-week run has been a ride. It has really been a ride and culminated in, you know, for all of those that listen to this radio station that are so involved with the Tennessee Titans, are just great, great fans. And to be involved and just to see that get together Saturday night at the Power and Light District and to feel the genuine emotion. And I know it was going on back here too. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, it was so the emotion was so real, and I mean, it was just genuine, and it was organic, and that's what, when you do something like what the Titans did this year, it catches everybody up in it, and it was just so much fun to be involved in it. And again, the National Football League, when you get into the tournament like this, the end of it is so final that you know, it takes you a while to kind of sit back and reflect. And you know, we were doing that on the plane coming back. It was a short flight coming back, but sitting with Rhett Bryan and all the radio crew and just, you know, talking about it, guys, this was a special, and this football team has got something to it. And the organization is on such a great path right now. This is going to continue to be a really good ride.
I enjoyed hearing talking about the deal on Saturday night. You see John Robinson and Amy Adams struck, and they make their way through and then see everybody, and you were there, and, you know, big crowd and the radio show and all. I mean, it was such a cool scene. I really enjoyed seeing the stuff.
And it's just so, you know, what Amy Adams struck has done with his organization and John Robinson, and, you know, we'll talk about Mike Vrabel and the coaches later, because, I mean, that's, to me, they were outstanding. You know, and this run, but what Amy Adams Strunk and John Robinson, you know, the leadership they're providing, you can feel, but you can just feel the people know that it's genuine. You know, Nashville is a genuine place. It really is. And it's all embracing if they know that you're genuine. And everybody doesn't have to be the same, but they want you to be real. And Amy Adams Strunk and John Robinson are real. And the connection with the city and with everybody, the fandom is so real right now. I mean, I can feel it because they're great to me. It's amazing.
Yeah, we were saying that, you know, for so long, the Super Bowl year was really, you know, the thing that Titans fans, you know, rallied around. It was their greatest memory. And now this team, you know, for maybe a new generation of Titans fans and even those older, you know, this team is so likable. They, you know, blue collar work ethic, no diva factor. You love the way they handled things. Not a lot of smack talk. You love the way Vrabel led. You love the way they played. And this is going to be a team. You know, maybe this is the beginning of something really special. But this team, even individually, I think will get a lot of love in the years to come.
I really believe that. You know, and I was telling you guys, you know, Keith Bullock and some of the guys came into the broadcast booth as we were ending. And just, you know, they came in there and gave us a fist bump and then turned around, look at Keith, and he, you know, pounded his heart with his fist. Because he knew. You can feel it. And when a team has that – I mean, that's, and I think that was the feeling that everybody had. This organization and this team have a real genuine heart that is good. And it was a great thing. I think when we all sit back, and you make a great point, you know, about thinking about that, you got a whole new generation that's got something to grab a hold on with this place. When I first started with the Bears, you know, Mike Ditka, you know, at one time, you know, said we're Grabowskis. Well, I think that Vrabel said it well. Said we're gritty, we're grimy, and you know, we're real, and that just permeates everything, and people here appreciate that.
Yeah, one of the things we talked about leading up to the game was the difference between the Chiefs that we saw at Nissan Stadium when the Titans beat them in Week 10, and the Chiefs now, to me, was Patrick Mahomes' legs. He was mobile, and he was dangerous, and boy, did that ever play out.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about that all week leading up to it, you know, and that's reality, and that's the reality of, you know, I've said, you know, many a times, and I saw, you know, that Schaaf had put it out there on, you know, on social media when I said, and it's true, you can study schemes, but you attack people, and you attack people, you know, with ability. And when he was not mobile when he was here, it made a difference in there, because big part of their offense is his off schedule at things and being able to manipulate the pocket and move. And we know that. And I promise you, who else knows that is Andy Reid. You know, he knows that. And so he knows how big of a part of his offense that is for that, because that quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, is a generational quarterback. I mean, let's just get it out there, because what he can do. And I said it a lot during the broadcast because it was true. He was manipulating that pocket, but his eyes never left downfield. He is constantly scanning and looking, and he has a launch platform. And plus, guys, I mean, that's a special offense with their skill people. I mean, those are fast, fast people, all of them. All of them are. And then you got, I mean, that's a special group they've put together offensively. And so, you know, to have beaten them here, and that was a big win here, because that launched, you know, launched this run too. That was a big win here. But you also, you know, you realize and you know who you're playing. I mean, that was two good teams playing, and a good team won, and a good team's representing, you know, the American Football Conference now. But the Tennessee Titans are a good team too.
Schematically, you know, and you can tell us a lot more, it was pretty evident that Dean Pease didn't blitz very much. What was he trying to do, and what did the Chiefs do that you saw to counteract it?
Well, the thing you looked at the week before, if you studied the film, and what Romeo Crennel tried to do with the Texans, I mean, he tried to put pressure and play man across the board, and they ran him out of the stadium. You know, I mean, they really did. And so, you know, what you've got to do with that type of an offense, you know, first of all, you know, you need to be able to manipulate and control the ball and score with your offense, because that, I mean, it's complementary football at its finest when you play those types of people. But defensively, what you're trying to do, I mean, they're going to get some of their yards. You just don't want the explosives. You know, you don't want the explosive. The 27-yard run right before the half, that's an explosive. You know, the 60-yarder at the end of a ball game, that's an explosive. But to the point, the thing that they do so well is they're able to control the chains they are offensively. You don't see them in too many third and real longs. You don't see them, and so you've got to make your plays when you get a chance. But you can't just say we're just going to pressure him and blitz him and go after him, and then, because leaving your cover people one-on-one with those people any extended amount of time, it's a recipe for disaster. It really is. You got to surround them, and you got to tackle well. And I thought, for the most part, other than, like, you know, the 27-yard run, there were two missed tackles on that thing, but for the most part, they tackled well in this ball game. You just played a very, very good offensive football team.
Yeah, that's as I said.
Vrabel was saying at halftime they weren't tackling well.
Yeah,
which was kind of interesting.
Well, he was talking about the 27-yard run. That's what
that was the run.
But Blaine's right. I mean, yeah, you know, throughout the game, I mean, it's they pretty well spot tackled and did some things you have to do. And look, those guys are going to make you miss some too. Mm-hmm. Look, this was a big time game. It really was, and the atmosphere was big time, and it wasn't too big for the Titans. I can promise you that.
Yeah, they just got beat by a better team. I guess what was a little more surprising for me, and we'll talk about it on the way back, is what were your thoughts on that the Chiefs were actually decided to run the football, and they actually controlled the clock a little bit there in the second half too by running the football, and that was a little surprising that they were running the football. And we were playing more defense, but just even the thought that they were going to run the football and thought that was a good idea was kind of – it caught me by surprise. I want to hear what you think about that.
Coach Dave McGinnis is with us from Titans Radio. It's brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Of course, this is the Wake Up Zone powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. More coming up in a moment as we continue with Coach Mack. First, Blaine, a word about Tenacity.
Yes, if your New Year's resolution was to take better care of your body, you should think about CBD. But if you're going to use CBD, you have to be careful about who you can trust. And you know, I trust Tenacity. I trust Tenacity because they have a patent-pending, university-developed formula of CBD in each product. And everything about Tenacity is local to Middle Tennessee, even the plants. So if you're having trouble sleeping, maybe you're dealing with a little anxiety that life brings, or you owe it to yourself to try Tenacity. It has truly helped me sleep through the night, and I feel much more relaxed, and I feel better and refreshed every day. Tenacity has really helped lessen some of the aches and pains, of course, and that I deal with from playing football in the National League, National Football League, of course. And the lotion I use soothes my muscles after those tough workouts that I still try to do today. So you will love Tenacity CBD products, and there are several ways to try it. Oils like I'm using is the Gray Salve, that the lotion that's great for sore back and joints for all those surgeries that I had. And now Tenacity is making you an offer that you can't refuse. All you have to do is visit Tenacity.com and enter my code BB2020 at checkout for 50% off your first order. That's my code BB2020 for half off. That's Tenacity.com. Enter the code BB2020 for an incredible offer. And we all know Tenacity is TANASI.com today.
Great game plan, man. And they were coming off the ball. Guys were being physical. I played a great game today. You know, defense and you know, the offense. We know how offense that is, explosive, can score at any moment. So, like I said, we just came up short. All the credit to them and, you know, good luck to them.
Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Titans running back Derrick Henry rushed for 69 yards and 19 carries, touchdown yesterday. Joined by Coach Dave McGinnis. He is brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans.
Yes. Coach Mack, you know, a lot of callers and, you know, all of us kind of disagree with, they thought that the Titans abandoned the run maybe a series too soon. From your eyes, watching the game, being there and everything, what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I don't think so, because, I mean, Mark had a great stat. You know, they only had it 10 times. I mean, once that score got separated, and all of a sudden, once you get the ball back, I mean, you know you're going to have to start moving it to score. They only had it, what, Mark, 10 times?
They had 10 snaps, and Henry had 3 runs and 1 pass reception for minus yardage.
Yep.
The other thing, screen too, pass. Was after it was 17-7, Derrick Henry, 5 carries for 8 yards the rest of the game.
Right. And so, I mean, they were, again, Spags was loaded up. Early on, you know, yeah. You heard me calling that ball game. He wasn't only loading the front, he was run blitzing on every first and second down. Mm-hmm. He was bringing somebody in the backside, open side, B gap. And he was not in a 4-3 defense. He went to an under defense, which 4-3 teams do when they're going to play the run, which means you bring your Sam linebacker up on the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. and then you can bring your safety either strong or weak down. I mean, and so he was loaded for the run. All right, and all he was doing was trying to. And when it got 17-7, I think, you know, they were surprised, and that's when they started opening up offensively. I mean, it's. Yeah, I don't think they abandoned the run too quick at all. I think the score got separated on us, mm-hmm. and then you had to start airing it out.
Mm. And right when you thought the Titans still had a shot in it, you thought they got off on third down. They gave us that, in my opinion, bad call on the pass interference.
Blaine,
what were your thoughts on it? I'm a DB, but I thought that, man, that the receiver actually drew contact, and it was just slight enough just to say, nah, I don't think this is a physical game. I don't think that's enough.
No, and I agree. And it's not just because you're a defensive back. I mean, you know ball, and you're looking at it, and you're seeing it. And Mike Keith and I thought the same thing. We looked at that thing and went, and here's the issue. Here's the issue with trying to challenge
that. Just imagine if that same thing happened in the end zone for a jump ball.
Yes.
They would have let that play out.
That's 100% right. And we both looked at each other, you know, and of course, you go into your mind, well, should you challenge it? Well, the history of challenges on those things in the league, you're not going to win it. And so I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. That was very, very questionable. And that was a big call in the game. Look. Calls didn't win or lose this game,
but that
was a point in the ball game where it was important.
Yeah, and besides the other one where they ran the guy over, was that Brock or something at the line, and he was grabbing him on the way down. Like, dude, wait, what, when they called pass interference on him?
I thought that was kind of the end of the game, though, I mean, because yeah, you know, it's a spot foul, and they get the ball way on down the field.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could feel it. I mean, there's tipping points in games all the time, but mm-hmm. especially games of that magnitude, and especially what this team played four road games against quality opponents in this tournament, and they were fighting with everything they had, and so those are some of those tipping points. And of course, we're biased, but you try to be, when I'm doing a game and when you guys are watching, you try to be also objective and look at it. But I think we've got points on that as far as to where, it was a little iffy.
Yeah, well, Mahomes on that run right before the half, that was big with tip.
No, and there's no doubt. There is no doubt.
But no turnovers, and you think about how we beat them here at home, where we had the pick-up fumble by Evans for a touchdown and a blocked field goal. Here we had none. So you can move from 20 to 20, but we need to get a turnover somewhere along the way, and that just didn't happen.
And normally when you are playing as dynamic and offensive that with as many explosive mm-hmm. People as they have, you need something to be able to tip it with field position. I thought Brett Kern, I thought that the kicking game was excellent. The field position and the whole thing was really good, but – when you play a team like that, and you're right, Blaine, you need something to go your way, and you need to either, create it or for it to happen. I mean, he had a couple of throws that we might have had a chance. I mean, one of his worst throws, but it was just back behind, where the safety couldn't get a hold of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just those little things, you never know. But, again, it doesn't detract from what this football team did.
The thing about Kansas City, too, is even if you pin him back, Mahomes can get him out of jail so quickly with his ability to
when you're watching it, and our listeners have heard me, talk ever since I've been on, this radio station and then doing ball games. I mean, it's a real thing. And especially the bigger the games get, the more real it gets, is the conflict downs for a defense. So when you're constantly having to defend, run and pass both. Because if you go through the play-by-play and look at the down and distances, they very seldom, I'm talking about Kansas City, put themselves in situations as to where they were down and distance behind the chains. They worked the chains this ball game as well as you can. They really did.
Yeah, and after 17-7, they were 6-for-8 on third down, 1-for-1 on fourth down. The other thing, too, is Titans did an excellent job of limiting Kelce.
Yes.
He had 30 yards. Tyreek Hill, was a factor, but maybe not as much as you thought, but they still managed to find people to make plays.
Yeah, but Watkins was the guy that was going to 101, and he had 114.
There you go.
And that's why I was concerned about Watkins.
Yeah.
Because he was the guy. They got a guy who's seventh pick of the draft now. This guy's super talented.
Yep.
They don't have any hangers on that offense.
No.
I mean, they've got real guys. And Watkins, what did he have? 60 on the one, right? He had but look, that's what happens. I mean, they took away some things, but they've got so many weapons mm-hmm. that it's just one of those teams.
With all that being said, what makes you think that with appropriate signings, that they can continue this for a nice little 3 or 4 year window and keep this run going? That this wasn't just like kind of like Jacksonville a couple years ago, you had a 1 year and then 1 year run and then that was it. What makes you confident that this will be, for a nice little, maybe 3 or 4 years that they'll have a nice little.
I'll tell you, the first thing it does is the number of games they won in a row to get there. It wasn't mm-hmm. it wasn't like they had a fluke win here and a fluke win there, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you just jump in. I mean, they had a 12-week run as to where, they had to win football games, and you could see them, and they won football games a lot of different ways, all right? And you saw that. And that's important. And plus, the foundation up there that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk has set. I mean, look, I've been in enough buildings in my life in the National Football League. I've been around teams. You know good from bad when it's just the environment. And then the work ethic that's instilled. And Mark brought this up earlier, too. I mean, this is and Blaine, you were on one of those teams. A focused football team week to week to week doesn't happen just by chance. It's something that is ingrained in what is going on with the organization. And that's ingrained right now with this group that's going on. So, you never have the same team year to year because that's just the way the National Football League set up. But the foundation is set here with this football team in that building with the people in charge and with the players that set that foundation. That's what makes me know that it's going to be good.
What did you see in terms of growth from Vrabel? Because it's pretty obvious and I think people sometimes dwell too much on the calls, on some of the game management calls. And you know, I mean, game management is important. I thought he was fine most of the time, but there are a lot of other things that go into being a good head coach.
No, there absolutely are. And first of all, it's just you, as a head coach, I mean, you set the tone and the timbre daily. I mean, daily you set that. And you've got to get, you know, everybody on message and then not only believing in the message, but carrying the message into the locker room and then carrying that message into the meeting rooms, carrying that message onto the practice field. I mean, you saw the interview that he had with Cowher. And I mean, I think that was the ultimate respect, you know, when you just, you know, because guys that have sat in that chair, I've sat in that chair. I know what it takes. And I know the daily preparation that it takes to get everybody together. And the one thing about Mike Vrabel is he is as genuine as it gets. He's as genuine as it gets, but he's also, he's tough. He's resilient, but he cares about his players. He cares about his players, and players know that immediately. They know that immediately. And plus, he's a really, really good football coach, a really good football coach.
Dave McGinnis is with us from Titans Radio. What do you want to know about the game yesterday or what's ahead in the offseason? 615-737-1045. Coach Mack brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Farm Bureau Health Plans is going to coach you through it. They got you covered. More of the show coming up in a moment.
Tannehill, play fake, throwing Dennis Kelly. Touchdown, Titans! Dennis Kelly! Played for Andy Reid in Philly, burns him there as a receiver.
Undertaker with a touchdown. Welcome back, 104.5 The Zone, 8:35 the time. We're powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop and Jonathan Schaefer. I'm Kevin Ingram. Got our guy, Coach Mack. Dave McGinnis with us, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. And if you want to hop in with a question, 615-737-1045. Let's do it. Let's get to a couple calls. Jacob in Knoxville, good morning.
Hey, Coach Mack, great to talk to you.
Hi, Jacob.
A couple questions for you.
Sure.
Do you think that Arthur Smith should have implemented and got Jonnu Smith and A.J. Brown more involved in the game plan? And do you think that looking at that San Francisco-Green Bay NFC title game, that San Francisco kind of tried to emulate what the Titans were doing with the Garoppolo only having like 11 pass attempts?
Jacob, thanks for the call. You know, he got the first play of the ball game. He had A.J. Brown and Jonnu both involved. Look, and I think Arthur Smith did a really fabulous job this year. I mean, we just played a cut of Dennis Kelly catching a touchdown pass. All the things that he did, you know, with this offense and with his offensive staff and with these offensive players, I thought he managed this thing very, very well. I mean, look, you've only got one football and you've only got one snap, you know, per series that you can distribute a football to certain people. So you can't just do one thing. And I think he did a really nice job all year of distributing that football really, really well. And the thing that is good about it, just the fact that you mentioned Jonnu, you mentioned A.J. Brown. I mean, you know, Davis had a part in this ball game. Mm-hmm. He's got weapons that he can work with, and he will get even more. But in this 12-week run, this offense set a lot of records here as far as just not only winning football games, but the ability. I think that was one, you know, going into the season, Mike Keith, one of the early shows we did, and then, you know, we do a lot of events with season ticket holders, which I absolutely love doing. One of the questions they asked Mike Keith was, what does this team need to do this year to be able to take a step to get to a place that we just got to, the AFC Championship game? And he said early in the year, score more points, score more points. And that's what this offense did this year. Now, you talk about, I'll go real quick on that San Francisco thing. That has always been the backbone of a Shanahan offense. Always been the backbone of a Shanahan offense. Kyle Shanahan is, you know, of course, you know, Mike is, I'm sure, is very, very proud of what Kyle's done. But I've gone against a lot of Mike Shanahan teams during my career. The running game is paramount. They've got a running back coach named Bobby Turner that's been with them forever. He and I coached together at Indiana State. One of the best running back coaches. Not only one of the best running back coaches in the league, one of the best running back identifiers in the league as far as going out and find guys that fit that system. But they've been running the ball ever since Mike Shanahan has put that offense in, and now Kyle is continuing.
I want to add something to that. You know, the caller talking about here, you know, Adam Humphries had some great third down conversion. I think he had three or four.
Yes, he did, Blaine.
So he had five targets, four for 25 only. But Corey Davis, eight targets, but five catches for 65. A.J. Brown, six targets, three catches, 51 yards. Jonnu, which is third on this list here, four targets, three catches for 38 yards, an average of 12. So I thought they spread the ball around, you know, to a lot of different guys, let alone Ferkser, who was a couple of targets. And only person really is left out of it is Sharp in this game. And that's because Adam Humphries was back.
Yeah, and Blaine,
so,
I mean.
So I thought they spread the ball around. And when you try to, you know, when you're game planning, you've been game planning defenses all forever. Now, I mean, who are you actually keying? Are you A.J. Brown or no one? Because they spread the wrong ball around to everybody.
Blaine, that is such a very vital and salient point. That is that's just spot on. And, you know, we've had ball games before during this nice 12-week run where he'd spread the ball to 10 different targets.
Mm-hmm.
10 different targets. And that you just pointed out, I mean, that's just right on. That's spot on right there, Blaine.
Yeah, because when you, as a defensive guy being, you know, game planning, you go, well, dang, who's their go-to guy? And when you look at it, you go, well, they really kind of hit everybody here. We didn't even talk about Ferkser on here. I mean, you know, so they got some guys that you use in certain situations. They kind of spread the ball around.
Absolutely, and that goes to the point. That goes to the point of the team that we just played. That's going to the Super Bowl. Look how many weapons they have, and look how they spread it around.
Yeah, they just made a good point. You made a salient point. Talk about raising the bar.
Right. Yeah. Well. Yeah. It took me the whole season to get to that one.
I went to class 2 days in college. I learned that word.
Back to calls. Clay in Nashville. Good morning. You're on the zone with Coach Mack.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. Yeah,
doing
good, great. Clay. Thanks for calling in.
Coach Mack, I just wanted to tell you, first of all, you and Mike Keith do a great job on the radio and all your years in coaching. It's really a lot of fun to, you know, to listen to your breakdown of the game and things like that, and you certainly know your stuff.
Clay, I appreciate that, but look, I enjoy what I do so much, and one of the biggest compliments that I was paid when we were at that Power and Light District with all the multitude of fans that were there is more than one group would come up and say, we love the chemistry that you and Mike Keith had, and to be able to be put into the category with Mike Keith, I mean, look, I love doing this, and I love doing it, you know, for a lot of reasons. But being involved with Mike Keith and with Titans Radio and being able to do that with this club, it's for people like you, like the fans that genuinely, that was one of the biggest things I took away from, you know, you don't even have to go away from all the emotion at that Power and Light thing, but people that genuinely came up and said, we listen all the time and we absolutely love it. That made me feel so good. And that's why I really enjoyed doing this. Thank you for that compliment.
I have a comment just on the season as a whole and then a question that I'll ask and then I'll get off and listen. But I love the Tennessee Titans. I'm a lifelong Nashvilleian. I'm 58 years old. And I've been here most of my life. And I think we need to put this in perspective that here's a team that was 2-4 and they end up 11 points short of the Super Bowl. So I think that's a great job by the players. And by Coach Vrabel, I know there was a lot of negativity, you know, around the quarterback situation earlier in the year. But Ryan Tannehill, you know, that kid flat played his butt off and took us to 11 points short of the Super Bowl. So am I disappointed we lost? Sure I am. But, you know, I think this team needs to be recognized for a great run. And I'm starving for a championship for my hometown. But my question is, and I'll hang up and listen, is, what do you see free agency doing? How will this team look next year? And I think we need a really quality pass rusher, Jadeveon Clowney, Javon Kearse, somebody like that. And to me, it appears pretty hard to sign both Tannehill and Derrick Henry to long-term deals, my take would be maybe they would sign Tannehill and possibly franchise tag Derrick Henry. Thank you.
Clay, thank you so much. And you know, thank you for being such a great fan. I mean, that's you know, what makes this so cool is the way that this city embraced this football team. And as I said, just the emotion of all of it. Look, the offseason, this is going to be a very active offseason, you know, for the Tennessee Titans. The thing that I can tell you is knowing John Robinson and being up there with him every day, he was asked this question, I believe, a couple of weeks ago on one of the Mike Vrabel shows with Mike Keith when he was filling in on those short weeks. And his answer was this. He is excited and looking forward to this offseason. He is excited and looking forward. He will have a really, really good plan. And I can't think of anybody I would rather have that plan whose hands that plan would be in is John Robinson. He will get this figured out along with Mike Vrabel. There are going to be a lot of decisions that have to be made, but we have got very, very competent decision makers in place up there now. I've got a lot of confidence that this is going to be a very active and productive offseason with John Robinson.
Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis is with us from Titans Radio. We'll be back with more in a moment. 844 of the time, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Zone.
This isn't about how I cope. You know, I mean, it's about how the players cope. You know, there's a lot of guys in there. Every year is a new year. And again, it's not my concern is about the players.
104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. 8:49 the time. We have Coach Dave McGinnis with us from Titans Radio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. And a few more minutes here if you want to get in with Coach Mack, 615-737-1045.
Coach Mack, in giving a tip of the cap to the Chiefs, you know, everybody wondered all week if Chris Jones would play and what would his impact be. Well, it was pretty profound. He didn't play a lot of snaps. I think he played 5 snaps in the first half, but 18 in the second. And when he was in there, they talked about it. They had 3 sacks and 7 pressures. When he wasn't in there, they didn't put much pressure at all on Tannehill.
No, he's a real player. I mean, he is a player, and he's a two-dimension player. I mean, he's physical enough to collapse the cylinder and do those things and be really strong against the run. But I mean, he can bring heat on when it's time to rush the passer too. I mean, he's a premier piece of what Spagnuolo has on that defense. He's a premier piece on that defense.
This was a really good draft class at first glance for John Robinson. Just about everybody, you know, made a contribution, and they always say biggest improvement from year one to year two. Just with this draft class, what gets you excited about next year?
Well, just what you said. I mean, everybody that was drafted that was healthy, you know, DeAndre Walker's going to be a good player too. I mean, he, you know, we've kind of put him to the side, but you know, I see him up there every day working and what he is. So, but the guys, they develop. You know, I'll pinpoint just one, and not just because he's the only one, but because we don't have time to talk about everybody. Look what David Long did. Look what David Long did, and when he did it, you know, when Jayon was injured. I mean, David Long, you know, when he was at West Virginia, you know, and I, of course, I'm getting ready to get deep into the draft with Red again. You know, we'll get deep into this thing like we did last year. But when you watch David Long at West Virginia, I mean, this guy was a see ball, get ball guy, you know, with not a lot of structure, but was a very, very intelligent player and also very instinctive player. But to get involved into this defense and all the nuances of it and to watch him and you know, I watch linebackers and, you know, I watch Jayon Brown go from just a cover guy to a real linebacker. I watched Rashawn Evans go from an on-the-line guy to a guy that understood that worked and worked hard and understood then how to read and where to put his eyes and how to trigger and stuff. You watch David Long do the same thing. I mean, that play he made in Baltimore on that first fourth down with a power O play to be able to run through. I mean, so all of those types of things point to two things. They're drafting the right people, and then they're developing them. And that, to me, is exciting.
Yeah. Get to a phone caller, too. John, good morning. You're on the Zone. What's up?
Hey, good morning. Making our way back from Kansas City right now. So.
All right. Oh. All right, John. Good.
It's
just want to say thanks to Coach Mack. We were at Johnny's on Saturday night, and me and him chatted it up outside the bathroom while he was babysitting Mr. and John Robinson. But I guess talking about the game on yesterday, did we just not have the push on the offensive line, or what happened there? Because I know we gave up three sacks yesterday as well. I was just kind of surprised by that, by, you know, the stories of their defense and everything.
Well, John, this defense, again, you know, I enjoyed visiting with you there, just like I enjoyed visiting with a lot of great fans. You guys were outstanding there. All those fans that made that trip, huge shout out. I mean, huge shout out. It was impressive. It was very impressive. And just the energy and the love that you brought, and just the genuine emotion that you could feel. You could feel it there. You could feel it in the hotel. You could feel it at the ball game. And I'm sure that the tailgate was the same way. I mean, it was genuine. And so a huge shout out to everybody, all the Titans Nation that made that trip. It was outstanding. And to be involved with you guys on Saturday night, I absolutely loved it. Now, look. The defense, Spagnuolo went in there and reconfigured that defense, and that defense has been steadily improving all year. And when you change from a 3-4 to a 4-3, you've got to learn, first of all, where your people fit, and then you've got to find out once you get into it. It's not going to always be the perfect fit the first time, so you could see them improve. I mean, that's one thing we talked about a lot extensively going into this, and Mike Keith, you know, brought it up, you know, continually. That defense has improved as much as any defense in the league, and then to be able to play behind that offense, I mean, you've got a chance to really tee off and do some things. They've got a good football team, and the defense has finally caught up to that offense.
Squeeze in one more here. Matt in White House, good morning. You're on the Zone.
Hey, good morning, guys. First off, I just want to thank you, Coach Mack, for all the coverage that you provided over the past week. Love listening to every minute of it, and just got a couple quick questions for you.
Sure, Matt.
One thing that's kind of been on my mind is, do you think that perhaps Arthur Smith panicked a little bit during halftime, and after seeing how Mahomes and the Chiefs were moving the ball up down the field to close the first half out, I just felt like he could have went to Henry Moore in that second half, especially after we got the stop on the Chiefs' first drive after halftime. And then second quick question is, do you think John Robinson and Vrabel go into the offseason with an intentional plan of trying to shape the roster to match up with the Chiefs? Because the Chiefs are definitely not going anywhere. I think that they're going to be the class of the AFC for the foreseeable future. So just want to hear your thoughts on that, and I'll hang up with
you. Matt, thank you. Thank you for the call. And again, thanks for being a great Titan fan. Yeah, first of all, the furthest thing that Arthur Smith is a panicker. I promise you that. That's the furthest thing from it. And we, you know, earlier in the segment, you know, Mark brought up a great point. I mean, you just didn't have a lot of touches, you know, there in that second half as far as to what was going on with the run game.
Yeah, first 10 snaps, Henry ran it three times and he caught the ball once. So it's not like they totally junked Henry. When they got behind 35-17 in the fourth quarter, they had to throw the ball, and Derrick Henry's not part of the passing game, as Blaine so eloquently stated a couple of times, and he's absolutely right. So I don't see where Arthur Smith panicked at all.
Well, that's the furthest. And there's one thing you can say about Arthur Smith: panic is not even in the equation with him. This guy did a marvelous job. As far as the offseason plans, they will have a really, really good plan. And those two, as I said earlier in one of our earlier segments, I could not be more confident in two guys as far as, and putting together a football team. You put together your football team to be the best in the league. All right, we were one game away from the Super Bowl this year, and the one thing that I do know that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel will not stay stationary, because they've got one thing in mind, and Amy Adams Strunk does too, for all of our fans and for this football team, is to be in the final game, and the final game is the Super Bowl. That's what their plans will be.
Coach Mack, thank you as always. Great to see you, man.
Guys, it's great. Well, we got to start talking about some other things now. We'll be.
Is Rhett going to be on the bench at the combine again this year? That's the one thing I want to know.
Well, you guys going to the Senior Bowl first?
Yeah, we're starting this. I mean, look, I mean, you guys saw the draft board we put together last year, and it was pretty spot on. So that's one thing that happens, especially when you go this deep into the playoffs. You know, and I've done this as a coach too, because when your final game ends, then all of a sudden, guess what? There's a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do here. We got a lot to talk about. You guys are the best. Thanks.
Thank you, Coach. Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered. More Wake Up Zone on the way, including the Monday morning facial in about 15 minutes. More of the show coming up next.